From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made back in early December. Monroe County was dealing with an investigation into local development corporations, or LDCs, on multiple fronts. The FBI was involved, as was the state attorney general's office. County Executive Maggie Brooks had said that Dennis Facco was reviewing LDCs to make his own recommendations for the county. And that's when the Democrats, led by Kerry Andrews, said there was a problem with this. Maggie Brooks should not be investigating herself. She wanted to seek, Kerry Andrews said, a separate investigation by the Monroe County Legislature, independent of all of that. But it has not happened. Since then, we've heard from the county executive, and privately, the investigations continue. Today, we will hear from Kerry Andrews about what should happen next. And we'll talk about county business as well. We'd like to hear from you this hour. You can call us at 263-WXXI, 263-9994. You can join the conversation on social media. And Kerry Andrews, welcome to Connections. Thanks for being here.
Here.
All right, let's go back to early December. Before we hear from the county executive who was here 2 weeks ago, let's talk about what you said then, which was essentially you shouldn't be investigating yourself. For our listeners who might not fully understand what you mean and why, tell us about that.
Sure. What Democrats in the county legislature wanted to see happen was a bipartisan review conducted by the county legislature into the actions that led to the current debacle with the LDCs. I stated many times, as have my colleagues, that the county executive should not be overseeing or running that investigation herself or that internal review by the county because she has a conflict of interest. And the primary reason for saying that was the fact that, but for her signature, authorizing a $100 million contract with Navitech from Siemens, this whole thing never would have even happened. Navitech wouldn't have any business if it hadn't gotten that initial contract with the county that the county executive alone authorized.
In a moment, we're going to hear what County Executive Maggie Brooks said about that possibility. But before we even get there, let me ask you this. You guys in the legislature, the Democrats have been the minority party. And I know that you have felt frustration as the minority party for many reasons over the years. So what's to say that if an investigation happened, that it wouldn't be political, that it wouldn't be an opportunity for you guys to hit back and take this opportunity, Kerry?
Well, the investigation we proposed would be bipartisan. So it would be comprised of Republicans in the legislature as well as the Democrats in the legislature. And we would have subpoena power and we would operate in the public. That's something that's not happening now. We wouldn't have votes on that committee or a majority on that committee to be able to make it political, as you stated. It would be a transparent, open to the public review of the county policies, the failed county policies that led to where we are now, which is hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer money at risk because of the tie-in with all the LDCs.
You refer to it as a debacle, but we don't really know yet, do we? I mean, don't we need to see more of the investigation play out?
Well, we know to date with the county executive and Dennis Facco, the attorney, the Republican attorney that she is working with, they've announced themselves that there were irregularities found when the county did its review, when Mr. Facco did the review of the LDCs. What we haven't heard publicly, certainly, is what those irregularities are. Since stating that, there's been no further information provided. The county executive, as most people know, did direct the LDCs to sever their relationships with Navitech, and it's my understanding that that process is underway. But it's the county who has admitted there were irregularities. The state controller has done several audits, all of which have found more than just irregularities, but allegations of misuse of taxpayer funds, preferential treatment for certain vendors, bid rigging, very serious allegations.
Inventing bills and extending hours and essentially wasting or stealing from taxpayer money. We'll see how that plays out in court. Now, what Kerry Andrews was just talking about was the fact that back on November 6th, the county put out a news release saying that Dennis Facco had conducted this review. That was their terms. It was a review. He spoke to 13 WHAM News in November and said, quote, "My investigation has had no limits." Those were his words. And Dennis Facco had said that he found irregularities in his review. The county executive, Maggie Brooks, at a news conference alongside him, then said that based on that, that they were bothered by it and they were going to cut the ties with Navitech as a result. So the big question since then has been, what did Dennis Facco find? Did it match up with what the AG's office find? We tried to pin down that point when we had a chance to talk to the county executive. She was generous enough to spend some time in studio with us 2 weeks ago. I want to listen now to this extended section on that. Given the premise of the way the county described what Dennis Facco was doing, because when she was here, it it for us, it was a little bit of a shift in understanding of what's happened. So let's listen at length, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
It's not really a review that we did. Essentially, we brought Dennis Vacco into Monroe County to help us respond to the mountains of information that was being requested by the Attorney General's office. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of documents that we had to provide to them. I would have had to hire three staff people and put them on that project full time. It was very apparent to us that we always said we wanted to cooperate with them. And to do that, we needed to somehow have the manpower and the ability to communicate with them and to respond in a professional way. You know, people talk about the money that we're spending on Dennis Vacco. I would just turn it around a little bit and say that this Attorney General's office has spent millions of dollars investigating Monroe County, and not just Monroe County, other governments across the state. I get that. That's his job. But when people criticize us for actually defending ourselves, and that's essentially what Dennis Vacco is helping us do, defend ourselves, we should be mindful that the tax dollars in your other pocket are going to the state attorney general's office to carry out all of these investigations.
We're going to talk about that because in many ways the AG's office has had some serious missteps, and we're going to talk about that in a moment too. The legislature Democrats leader Carrie Andrews said the county executive shouldn't be investigating herself. And again, you're saying it's not an investigation. It's more of a trying to coordinate a response. But she's saying, let the legislature do this, because that way you're not involved and people won't have any doubt about the way things are going on. Why not?
Well, you know, the investigation is not our investigation. This is an attorney general's office investigation. I would suggest that Carrie Andrews talk to our attorney general, if she's interested in being a part of that investigation. You know, it's been turned around that the county is investigating. We are certainly not. And to the extent that Dennis Vacco is helping us with our response, I'm not involved in that in any way. We purposely brought Dennis in so that we wouldn't have to be policing ourselves, if you will, even though it's not a true investigation. We're just responding to what is being asked of us by the attorney general's office. And if the legislature, Carrie Andrews or any other, would like to get involved, they really need to direct that interest and those questions and make that request of the lead agency.
But you helped create at least a couple of the LDCs we're talking about here, and you've got Dennis Vacco coming in to help review or look at what happened, but shouldn't you already know what happened?
I do know what happened. I know that in the case of UTC, we put together a public-private partnership that includes a lot of companies. I think there's 14 companies that work on UTC. And it was a project that was put together to help the county comply with the ever-changing, fast-paced changing technology that we all have to deal with. When I took office in 2004, the county was still using computers from the early 1980s, the first computers. Our technology was way behind the times. And when you want to talk about productivity and efficiency in government, we have to apply technology. We can't afford to do what we need to do to bring ourselves to a state-of-the-art status in county government. That's why we worked with these private companies and set up UTC, and I think it has been a success. M3S is all about public safety. Again, when I took office, we had a 20-year strategic plan to upgrade infrastructure for first responders in the community. We, by the way, the county, that is one of our unique collaborations here in Monroe County, is that we pay for all of the public safety infrastructure, communications infrastructure for our agencies locally. We are happy to do that. But we had this plan and no money to pay for it. And so we said, what do we do? The UTC model was working. And, you know, if you go through the numbers, and people on the Democratic side of the aisle have, it's working. And in terms of M3S, my focus has been, number one, are we getting what we've paid for? And the answer, as far as I can tell, is yes. And number two, are we working with all of those that are involved in the project to make sure that the needs of our first responders, fire, EMS, police, are being met? You saw the article the other day that some of the fire people are concerned about the radios, and they called it issues. There really are no issues because there's no project yet. We're developing the project, and we've made a commitment to them that we're not going to go forward with a project that doesn't meet their needs. So it's a work in progress, and I will tell you, if you go around the country, you will find other counties doing what we are doing with M3S and UTC. I presented M3S as a best practice to the White House when they were looking for public safety initiatives and how they could pay for some public homeland security initiatives. And so, from where I sit, I have one responsibility. That's to the taxpayers, and they are getting what they paid for, and the product is going to be meet the needs of our first responder community.
All right, let me try to get specific. You said you acknowledged there was a problem with the Navitech management of the contracts, and so you plan to fix it by canceling the contract with Navitech, moving the LDC projects to a different place. What was the nature of the problem or the irregularities with Navitech?
I think you go back to the Attorney General's audit. These were not our problems. This, again, was the Attorney General's audit where they raised some questions. A lot of what you're referring to is going to play out in court,
yeah.
And that's not my
piece
of it.
Didn't Dennis Vacco said the same thing at the news conference, though, that you found irregularities?
He did not. The Attorney General did. And what Dennis was saying is we looked at the same information, and there is the perception that there are some irregularities. That's what Dennis said. If you go back and listen to him, he didn't say, Monroe County investigated and found irregularities. He was saying, okay, looking at the same documents that the Attorney General's office is looking at, we agree that there could be the perception of irregularities. And so we
But can you explain why that is?
I think, that's going to be carried out in court. I mean, those are the things that are going to be the focus of a court investigation. And again, as county executive, that happens in the Hall of Justice. That has nothing to do with me. What I have to do is make sure that we protect the integrity of this project, the integrity and the merits of the project, which are there and are very real. And so my focus has been on that side of the equation. And it is a project with merits. It's hard to explain. I've noticed, court stuff is easy. Court stuff is easy. It's a soundbite, and everybody can simplify that, and they understand that. Very hard to explain a project that involves a monitoring and reaction center, new radios, new pagers, new towers. I mean, it's a very complex project. And at some point, when we do the launch, we are going to have to invite the media in so that they can see exactly what it is we've been working on for all this time.
So when Dennis Vacco is talking about the irregularities, he's referring to what the AGs have found. This is where I think people will get hung up a little bit, though. This is something that you have helped steward, and if we're looking at Navitech and there were problems at all with the way either contracts are awarded or money, especially taxpayers' dollars, don't you want to know and be involved? I mean, don't you? You say that doesn't have anything to do with you, but shouldn't have something to do with
it. Well, it certainly has something to do with the county, and that's why we have been cooperating with the Attorney General's office. That's why we brought Dennis Vacco in to make sure that we are cooperating, giving them all the information that they need to complete their investigation. That's my role in it, mm-hmm. to work with the Attorney General's office on what started as a municipal audit and certainly developed into something more. We continue to cooperate. This is an ongoing investigation, and people get frustrated because we're not, standing on street corners talking about this. But the reality is this is still an ongoing investigation.
Do you think they've done
anything wrong? Compromise.
Do you think Navitech's done anything wrong?
I'm not in a position to say that. I'm really not. I don't have access to all the evidence, so I can't really say that. It's an ongoing investigation.
All right, so that's County Executive Maggie Brooks on this program 2 weeks ago talking about the LDC investigations. And when she said on this program that she doesn't know if Navitech's done anything wrong, it did stand in contrast to what she and Dennis Vacco had both said several months before. Have you been able to get any clarity out of that, Carrie? What do you make of those comments?
Well, those comments she made to you a couple weeks ago are in stark contrast to what she said publicly and what Dennis Vacco said publicly a few months ago, as has been clearly stated. It's so entirely different. When she introduced Dennis Vacco to the community, she specifically said that she tapped him to do the internal review into the LDCs, and that was his function there. And he and she both maintained that they had found irregularities with the county's LDCs. And now she's changing her story entirely to talk about Dennis Vacco facilitating cooperation with the AG's office. But it's a whole new story. This is a 180-degree change from what she said when she first talked about the purpose of the hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars that we're spending on Dennis Vacco.
She said in that clip, and again, we're talking to Carrie Andrews, who is the leader of the Democrats in the Monroe County Legislature. And so if you're waiting on hold to talk to us and to Carrie, just please hang in there. She said, Ms. Brooks said, that if you were interested, you can contact the AG's office, and that there wasn't a need for a county review. What do you make of that?
Well, the review that we were attempting to do and still are pursuing was an independent review of county policies. The AG's office is doing a criminal investigation. There's a significant difference. The county legislature review was not going to be criminal in nature. We were going to review which failed county policies led to where we are now with the LDCs. What sort of due diligence did the county executive do when she authorized a $100 million contract with Navitec, a company that had been in existence for less than 4 weeks, had no work history, and no employees? That's what our review is going to be centered on. We would have had subpoena power. We would work with other legislators and with staff and county attorney and proceed and do that review. The attorney general is looking into the criminal side of issues. I have no role in his investigation whatsoever. That's for his office to do entirely.
And even if we acknowledge that what her explanation of what Dennis Vacco has been doing has changed, what's wrong with Dennis Vacco coming in and helping them coordinate a response, particularly when they have hundreds of thousands of documents to go through?
Well, assistance may be needed for the county to respond to the attorney general. Certainly we have a county law department that is full of capable attorneys. I'm sure they could play a role as well. It's a pretty intensive investigation that's ongoing, so I understand how there could be some need for assistance. We've attempted to find out, though, how much in taxpayer money is being spent on Mr. Vacco, and that information has not been forthcoming at all. The preliminary figure was $160-some thousand. That was really only for about 2 months of work, and we know that Mr. Vacco's been doing work now for a lot longer than that time period. And we were actually recently told to FOIL information if we wanted to find out how much he has invoiced the county. So the county's not been cooperative at all in revealing how much they're paying for Mr. Vacco's work. But it seems now that Mr. Vacco is actually, according to County Executive Brooks' latest remarks, acting more as a criminal defense attorney in cooperating with the Attorney General's office, and that's just very different than how he was first presented to this community.
If I don't get to the calls, our board is going to break. Phil in Greece, you're on with Carrie Andrews. Thanks for calling Connections.
Hi, good afternoon. You know, it's so upsetting to listen to this stuff. This county executive administration's had scandal after scandal after scandal. Nothing's done about it until the next scandal. And why wasn't a recall election held last November to see if the public still wanted her to be in office? The buck stops at her desk. I'm sorry. You know, her husband's involved in this thing.
No, hold on a sec, Phil. Let me just jump in. To be fair here, because the county executive is not here.
I know.
She's won re-election twice. You know, so there have been opportunities over the years for voters to decide if they didn't want her, or the Democratic Party could have perhaps tried to run more active candidates against her, depending on the year of the election. And her husband has not been proven to have done anything yet. He faces some charges. So I just trying to I want to be fair. I'm not taking sides, but I do want to be fair.
I agree. What you're saying is true. That's all that well and good. But I'm just saying there's been so many scandals. Millions of dollars here are wasted or misspent. You know, look at that huge mall in Irondequoit, and they keep paying this guy millions of dollars, either in kickbacks or...
Who keeps paying him, though? I understand the point you're making, but we're talking about county business here.
Yeah, well, that's part of the county, too. All these things. You know, yet our roads and bridges are falling apart, and they cry, oh, we haven't got enough money. Well, you know, stop this corporate welfare crap and spend the money where the people can see it. I mean, it's a total waste as far as I'm concerned. Nothing comes of this stuff. Oh, I fired a guy and I hired a new one. You know, hey, you get hire the right people in the beginning and you won't have these scandals and this cheating and thievery and whatever you want to call it.
Well, I appreciate the sentiments, Phil, and thanks for the call. Let me ask Carrie Andrews this question. You have plenty of people who still support and appreciate the county executive. You have plenty of people who want to see change. Next year, there's an election. The Republicans haven't decided who's going to run. They've got a number of candidates who would be viable. Have the Democrats started that process? And you're here to break any news today, Carrie.
No, Evan, I don't have any real news today to break in that area. Certainly next year, we're looking forward to a really competitive election, and the county executive seat will be up due to term limits, so it'll be vacant, and I'm sure we'll have some strong candidates fielded. The entire legislature also will be up, and a lot of us face term limits, so there should be real changeover in the county. legislature.
I remember, I think it was the 2007 election, and I remember having Steve Mnarik and Joe Morelli on, and Steve saying, if you really had a problem with Maggie Brooks, you'd really run somebody. I mean, to Phil's point, if he's dissatisfied, shouldn't there have been more active candidates in the past?
Well, we did field a candidate a couple of years ago, right, in an election, and it's hard to talk about, you know, it's hard to really reflect now on back. Perhaps we should have had other candidates run.
But you'll be more active next year.
We're certainly going to be very active next year. It's a great opportunity. I think people in this community are ready for change, and I think Democrats have a really great shot at running a significantly great candidate to take that office.
All right, we've got phones continue to be on fire. I think this is Gary. Gary, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Right,
and
thanks for
having me on, Evan.
Yep, sure.
Well, Ms. Andrews, first of all, I appreciate and respect the courage and integrity that you've shown in this whole debate and your willingness to stand up really for the average guy here in Monroe County. What I'm wondering is, very often, I've attended county legislative meetings, et cetera, and there seems to be something different about county government than, say, state or federal government, and that the minority party almost has no say. Maybe you could explain to me and the other listeners, what is it about the structure of the county government that prevents a minority party from really being able to press an issue like this? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Gary, and thank you for your kind remarks as well. The county legislature is certainly it's not a body that's known for its bipartisanship. It tends to be very rigid and controlled by the Republican majority that's been in place now for probably about 20 years. I don't have a great reason for that. Certainly, it's not the way that I would like to see the county legislature run. I think that Democrats propose a lot of great ideas, and sometimes the Republicans block them from even getting to the floor for consideration
But give me a specific. Be specific about an idea that you've felt would have been very viable that just has gone nowhere because of that.
Well, I would say that the investigation into the LDCs that we've talked about certainly hasn't gone anywhere. The proposals we've made to reform the LDCs, we have probably a 10, 15-page document put up since 2007 of all the different attempts we've made to rein in the LDCs and to have them operate in a more transparent and accountable way. All of those efforts have been stifled. There are a couple of initiatives that we've been working on recently that have been introduced, and also we're not allowed to come to a committee assignment for discussion.
Back to the phones. Let's get to line three. James in Rochester, you've been waiting to talk to Carrie Andrews. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Carrie. Because you're one of the top elected Democrats at the county level, I'm curious about who you supported in last year's mayoral primary, and who did you endorse? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay. Carrie, do you want to answer that?
Well, yes. I mean, that's fine.
Okay.
During the primary, I was a supporter of incumbent Mayor Richards. When he lost the primary, I was certainly a supporter of the Democratic nominee, Lovely Warren, and have been enjoying very much working on building my relationship with the mayor as well as working with her since she's been inaugurated.
What's your take on how her first few months have gone?
Mayor Warren came into office in a difficult time in the city of Rochester. I've had nice conversations and good time working with her so far. And I think there was a bit of a bumpy road that everyone acknowledged in the beginning. But I think she has real potential, very smart, capable, courageous woman that can make a great difference for the city of Rochester and move us forward.
All right, Rachel in Greece. Thanks for calling Connections, Rachel.
Hi, I have a question about the Costco project. Okay, I know that Democrat legislator Willie Lightfoot played a pretty big role in helping to bring Mayor Warren to the table in order to allow the project to go forward, but I don't really know a lot about how the process happened. I was wondering if Carrie could give me a little more background about how the Costco project or agreement came to be.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I'll give a little more background, too, because this was something that important that happened in December was that my caucus made a decision to block the funding for the capital budget, which is an important budget each year that's proposed for infrastructure upgrades. And we did that because we felt it was very important to force this independent review into the LDCs. And the Republicans had blocked it, and so we chose to exercise our leverage. At the time we made that decision, the funding for the Children's Detention Center, which is what was needed to move that center so that Costco could go forward, was not included in the CIP or in the capital budget. So that project wasn't anywhere on the radar. In fact, I had asked about it numerous times over the course of the year, and the administration had never conveyed any sense of urgency or really been forthcoming at all with where that project was at. So when we decided to vote against the CIP to use our leverage for the investigation, we moved forward and we did that. Shortly after that time period, the administration made the decision to insert funding for the Children's Detention Center move into the CIP, even though the state had really cleared the path for that project to move forward, and we could have funded it in a different mechanism. But they chose to put that project at risk. And when that happened, in conversations with the mayor and certainly with Legislator Lightfoot and with others in the caucus, we weren't willing to kill the Costco project. That project is important for local jobs, especially living wage jobs with health insurance, which is what's really needed for our community. It's an important city project, and so we were not willing to kill that project, and the county administration really left us no other alternative.
We're talking to Carrie Andrews, who is the leader of the Monroe County Democrats in the legislature. If you're waiting on the line to talk to us, hang in there. We got to get to a break in a minute, but I do want to wrap up on at least the subject of LDCs because we have other things to talk about. So let me just ask a couple more quick questions, Carrie, and then we'll move on to other subjects here. When it comes to we had one of our callers reference the county executive's husband, and she's obviously been reluctant to speak. It's personal, even if it's personnel. And in this case, the Attorney General's office, it's not your investigation, but they not only tipped off the media 24 hours in advance, which is pretty unprecedented, he didn't get a chance to testify in front of a grand jury. They're probably going to have to drop the charges against him. At least as an outsider, are you bothered by the way they've handled that part of it?
Oh, sure. I mean, no one liked what they saw. The notice to media ahead of time was inappropriate. The perp walk was inappropriate. I didn't like to see any of that. I mean, this needs to be a credible investigation by the Attorney General's office, so it's a shame that that happened. Having said that, I don't think any actions that occurred then negate anything that happened prior to that or affect anything that led up to the indictments, because certainly that was all based on evidence that was presented to a grand jury of his peers. So it's now up to the judge and the courts to decide what happens moving forward.
And I asked the county executive, because she's been saying that there's concern that there is a big political element to all of this. And I said, if in the court proceedings, as this continues, if the LDCs, Navitech, et cetera, have been found to have behaved inappropriately, fleeced taxpayers, cost us millions of dollars, and in addition to whatever else we find, if that's found, will she take some responsibility because she was involved in the creation of Navitech and the choice of the LDCs? And she said, let's see what happens in court. Let me ask you, if what happens going forward finds the AG's office is wrong, that, you know, they decide, you know, there isn't the evidence here, will you accept that and move forward and say, okay, we're moving on?
Yes. I mean, it's not within my control, certainly. The Attorney General, the FBI, they're conducting their investigations, and I believe in our criminal justice system. Whatever they find will be what they find. I will say certainly that the state controller has already done numerous audits that have found significant problems in the millions of dollars of wasted taxpayer funds, has already questioned preferential treatment and bid rigging and raised serious allegations. And every time these audits have come out in the past, the county executive has tossed them aside and said, oh, it's all political, it's all political. So we've certainly heard that refrain many times before. But now we wait and see on the criminal side certainly what happens and what really occurred and if anybody did anything criminally wrong.
Should the county stop doing business with LDCs on the grounds that it is very difficult for taxpayers to follow their own money and that even if it's fair or not, it feels like a funnel to donors and friends?
If the county needs to do business with LDCs, they need to be seriously reformed. We've talked in the past about the need to bring in more transparent measures to the LDCs, such as having the assignment of contracts come before the legislature, or LDC budgets come before the legislature, or having the legislature appoint members to all of the LDC boards. They cannot continue to operate in darkness. It's not fair to taxpayers. It's not fair to the county legislature, who has an obligation to represent the community and who can't even ask a simple question of any of the LDC boards because they never report to us.
So don't scrap it, but no more business with LDCs until those changes are implemented? Is that a fair way to describe your position?
At this point in time, I think it'd be almost impossible to disentangle ourselves from the current LDCs. So we need to figure out a way to rein them in and to make them more accountable currently so that we can have some faith in what they're doing. Going forward, I would be very reluctant to use the LDC model again unless it were significantly reformed.
And last question on the subject. The county executive told us on this program that if we scrapped LDCs, the LDCs, she said, offer such a good cost savings that they're the only way to do a lot of projects, communications, technology, other things. And that if we scrapped doing business with LDCs entirely, we'd have to stop doing a lot of projects that the county needs. Do you agree with that?
I would challenge that assumption. There's never been an independent verified source that says LDCs save money. She makes that assertion quite frequently, but in fact, any other agency that's looked at them has said they waste taxpayer money or they abuse taxpayer money. So I challenge that assumption. I'd really like to see it proven that, in fact, LDCs are a cost-effective way of doing business. They're just not subject to legislative oversight, and that makes me very uncomfortable, as it has this community and taxpayers who are now footing the bill for Dennis Vacco, the investigation, and everything else that's going on.
Sarah, Don, others waiting to talk to Carrie Andrews, stay right there. We're late for a break. We'll take a very short break here on this Wednesday afternoon and come right back with Carrie Andrews, leader of the Democrats in the Monroe County Legislature. You're listening to Connections with Evan Dawson on member-supported public radio.
The Oscar-nominated Dallas Buyers Club returns this week to the Little Theater. Matthew McConaughey stars as Ron Woodruff, whose freewheeling lifestyle was overturned in 1985 when he was diagnosed with HIV and given 30 days to live. These were the early days of the AIDS epidemic, and the U.S. government was divided on how to combat the virus. Ron must take matters into his own hands and seek out alternative medicines from all over the world, both legal and illegal. Learn more at thelittle.org.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and Carrie Andrews is joining us in studio for the hour. 2 weeks ago, we had Monroe County Executive Maggie Brooks here, and we always like to extend opportunities for our elected leaders to come in, not only answer our questions, but also hear from our listeners and the public. And Sarah in Rochester has been waiting to talk to Carrie Andrews. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi, Carrie. You've sort of touched on this already. I've been following a lot of what's been going on lately regarding the LDCs. I really admire the work you've done for the county. I'm actually just curious about your future political plans, especially in light of the recent debate, scandal, whatever we're calling it. You've really taken a lot of leadership here. A lot of people have seen that. I'd personally love to see you run for county executive.
Well, thank you, Sarah. That's very nice of you to say. I enjoy the work that I've been honored and able to do now for a few years in the county legislature. It's very rewarding, and it's been a great privilege to serve the residents of the 21st District. And I don't, at this current moment, have any future plans. I take things sort of a day at a time and see what happens. And next year, I do expect that we will have great campaigns for the county executive and for the county legislature. But thanks again for your kind remarks.
Hey, Sarah, you still there?
Yes.
I mean, is that a political answer or what there? I mean, does she sound like a possible future candidate or what?
That sounds pretty impressive to me.
I didn't say impressive. I said that's a well-considered response. No, I'm kidding. Hey, Sarah, thanks for the call there. My job is to give you a hard time when you give us an answer like that, Carrie. But fair enough to say the Republicans have a number of candidates who we could see next year. We could see Joe Robach, Mark Cassini, Anthony Danielli, Tony LaFountain, many others. On the Democrat side, we could see yourself, we could see others, and I think this is, a lot of voters would say it's important to get a sense in advance. Do you get at least a sense that the party will, you know, a year from now, the party will have a pretty good grasp on it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm very, very committed to believing that the party is going to do everything we can this year and next year to build for 2015 and to field the best, most qualified and appropriate candidate for county executive. It's going to be a very competitive race. After 12 years of County Executive Brooks, I believe this community is ready for a change, and I look forward to participating in that campaign and working with the Democratic Party to put forward a great message and put forward ideas about Monroe County.
Let's get to Don in East Rochester. Go ahead, Don.
Good afternoon. Ms. Andrews, I have a question. I called into the county executive 2 weeks ago, and I asked her to comment on the following situation that happened last year during the gay pride celebrations in Rochester. I asked her why the county did not display the rainbow flag in front of the county executive building like they do at City Hall. I also mentioned that, and I had read this in two different sources, that you and your caucus had displayed a rainbow flag in the window of your caucus room, and that Executive Brooks had sent up a county sheriff to demand that it be taken down, and that you and your caucus, you know, read him the Constitution, the First Amendment to the Constitution, freedom of speech. She says that never happened. Did that happen?
Thanks, Don, yeah, for the question. Yeah, last year during the annual Gay Pride events, we did, our office did choose to fly the Pride flag outside of the window. The community and myself had asked the county executive to fly the flag outside the county office building. She had declined to do so. And my chief of staff, Joe Rittler, and other staff member, Dennis O'Brien, did hang the flag outside of the building. And, in fact, a deputy did come upstairs and forcefully enter through our office and then pull that flag down. And he said that that was under the direction of a department in the county administration to do so.
He forcefully entered?
Yes, he let himself in. He swiped his badge and entered our office without us opening the door to allow him in. And then he walked right back through to the window and took the flag down.
But you don't have evidence that came from Ms. Brooks herself?
That's correct. The deputy said that it was under the direction of the communications department.
What was your response?
Our response was we went out, we got another flag, and we put it back out there.
You did? Okay. But did you contact the administration to ask why they had an issue with it?
We did send a letter and we did send a letter to request information about what had happened and if she had ordered that to occur. What we wound up discussing then was access to our office so that there wouldn't be the ability for people just to come in without being let in by our staff.
But it doesn't sound like you got a result that at least satisfied the question of what the genesis of that action was?
No, I think it's fair to say at this point we don't really know what led to the deputy coming upstairs. And I wasn't in the building at that particular time, so I don't know. I certainly wasn't with the deputy in the morning to know why he came up. But I do know that the flag was ripped out, a wire was broken from from outside the window of our office. And flying the flag is something we feel is really important. I was proud of my staff that they chose to do so, and we will plan to do so again next year.
263-WXXI, 263-9994, about 10 more minutes with Carrie Andrews, who is the leader of the Democrats in the Monroe County Legislature. A number of other issues I want to get to. You guys have been working on a charter review committee, which has all of the sexy ingredients of a big bowl of bland potato soup. But I know it matters to you guys, and it's been a number of years since the county charter was reviewed. What's going on there?
Yes, according to the charter, we should have a charter review committee every few years to make changes and recommendations for the charter. And so my colleague, legislator Justin Wilcox, put in a proposal last year to meet the requirements of the charter, and it did pass abruptly in May of last year. And so now we have a charter review committee that's been meeting since May and has some temporary recommendations at this point in time. And then today, we, as well as the Democratic Caucus, will be releasing our recommendations for changes to the charter.
What are the specific issues that may come out of that that would impact the residents of this county?
Well, the charter is really essentially the Constitution for Monroe County for us to follow. We believe it's a very important document. Two of the proposals that we have concerns about from the committee so far, the first one is the eradication of the Civil Service Commission. The county wants to get rid of that commission, which is charged with implementing state civil service law, and instead go to a model where you have a singular personnel officer. We have concerns with this because the person who is currently the executive director of that commission is the county executive's previous or former campaign manager. And so we believe that that person would then be installed to a 6-year term into this position, which means he would serve under the next county executive. And that eliminating the commission, I think, would leave that ripe for favoritism or patronage and problems with positions in the county. So that's one of the issues we'll be fighting, certainly. We're also concerned that it's not clear yet, but it could be a recommendation to get rid of the Comprehensive Economic Development Plan. That's a requirement You wouldn't know we have that requirement because, in fact, the county hasn't issued one since the late 70s or early 80s. But if you, you know, want to have a comprehensive economic development policy, which a lot of us think is the right thing to do, that plan would be a good starting point. And so there could be a proposal to reduce that and get rid of it.
When the county executive was here a couple weeks ago, we talked about taxes, and she said that she thinks the legacy of her administration will be holding property taxes stable. And you know, I pointed out that the tax rate, the actual number, 899, has been, it's been 910 or 899 over the course of her terms. But we're now paying more because not included in the rate are other issues such as MCC chargebacks, snow removal fees, et cetera. And if you roll those in, we're actually paying, you know, anywhere from 950 to 1020 or so, depending on where you live. And her response to that is something that she's been talking about for a decade, which is that mandated costs are very, very difficult for local governments, and there isn't a whole lot of wiggle room for the county. How important is it that we change the way that structure exists, Carrie? I mean, do you sense that, that she's right, that mandated costs, especially from the state level, have constrained the county's ability to be flexible?
Well, certainly mandates are a problem. I think we all agree that that's a fact, and they need to be addressed at a state or federal level, perhaps coming together with other counties, finding ways to address the mandate concern. However, that doesn't get us off the hook for our budgets. Every county in the state faces the same mandates, and yet it's Monroe County that has one of the worst fiscal stress scores out of any county in the state, and it's because of the poor choices we've made in handling our budget. You alluded to the tax rate and the tax levy. The chargeback piece here for us has been huge. Chargebacks have grown over $40 million since the county executive got into office. That's all tax money. I mean, people aren't stupid. When they pay their tax bills every year, they're still going up, whether they're part of the property tax levy or the chargeback levy. That's definitely money that's coming out of people's pockets. So, you know, I would again ask the county executive this year to be a little more transparent when she produces her budget and just levy, you know, level with the population and tell us that, in fact, you know, taxes have gone up significantly under her tenure and that she hasn't shown any signs of changing course with that.
Let's get back to the phones, and we've got John in the city waiting to talk to Carrie Andrews. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Carrie. I agree. The LDCs have to be reined in a little bit, at least for the protection of the taxpayers. But I'll tell you, what bothers me is the heat that Mickey Brook is getting for Dennis Vacco, hiring Dennis Vacco. I'll tell you, as a citizen, I have a suspicion. And I don't have a lot of confidence in the above-board actions of the Attorney General's office and DiNapoli. I think a lot of their power can be politicized. And in Snyderman's office, the Attorney General violated the law when they alerted the media before some of the arraignments. And I think Dennis Vacco is there to double-check the validity of these allegations from both DiNapoli and Snyderman. And that information should not be shared with Snyderman's office or DiNapoli's office because I think they're corrupt as well.
Go ahead, Carrie.
Well, you know, I don't really have enough information to comment on that. I think it's just I've asked so many times what Mr. Vacco is doing. I've asked for him to come and meet with the legislature. You know, I've asked for how much taxpayers are paying him to provide whatever service it is that he's providing. And none of that information has been provided. So it's hard for me to sit by and say I'm, you know, comfortable with his work or.
But you have said already this hour that you were bothered by the way the perp walks and the arrests were rolled out to the media. Fair to say?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a lot of distrust there between the Democrats and the Republicans in this state. I'll tell you, the Democrats in Albany are corrupt as heck, and that goes to Snyderman's office and DiNapoli's office.
But, John, let me ask you a question. Because Carrie has said, she's conceded the point that it certainly didn't look good. Do you think it's mutually exclusive to have a politically motivated leak to the media about the timing of a perp walk and the actual transgression of either crimes or abuse of taxpayer money? Do you think those things are mutually exclusive?
Well, not necessarily.
Okay, and that's why they're still investigating. I think they're conceding that there were errors made, and then the question becomes who should investigate? And I think everybody shares the goal, John, that these things can't be political weapons. So the question becomes, who would you trust, John, and how do we create a system that would satisfy you as a taxpayer to make sure, because if the LDCs are fleecing us, we better know about it.
Well, I'll tell you who I'd like to see investigated. I would like to see the FBI or a federal agency, because the state agencies at that level in Albany, I think are corrupt and are politically motivated. Of course, you can make that argument on a federal basis also with the IRS scandal and that type of thing. But it is a problem. And that's why hiring Vacco, who was an attorney general for New York State, I think was a good move. And he will investigate Snyderman's office and DiNapoli's office and what they did in this case, and that should be kept confidential.
Well, okay, and I appreciate the call, John, and I don't think anybody disagrees that you don't want this to become a political war, because the public's got to be able to trust an investigation, and the public has to be able to trust the way their tax dollars are being spent. But let me ask Kerry this. John is saying, hey, they hired Vacco to protect them, to make sure they weren't being hit too hard politically. Two things. Number one, if that's true, are you okay with that? And number two, does that square with the initial explanation of what Dennis Vacco was doing?
Right. I was just going to say we don't really know why they hired Vacco. I mean, initially, as we discussed, the county executive said he was tapped to do this intensive county internal review into the LDCs.
And he subsequently announced Maggie Brooks has done nothing wrong.
Correct. I mean, he exonerated her of any wrongdoing, which implies that he conducted some sort of investigation to reach that conclusion. And now it sounds like he's acting more as a facilitator or a criminal defense attorney for the county executive with the AG's office. So it's still very unclear to me what his purpose is there. And if I had a better understanding of what he was doing or somebody, the county executive or the Republican majority, would respond to letters and requests for information or convene a meeting with us, it could go a long way. But not having that information, I can only assume now that the county executive's changing her story, that he's not that his function has changed, or that he's not necessarily there acting in the best interest of taxpayers.
All right, well, let's not follow the words. The best thing we can do, and I say this a lot, is report on what people do, not just on what they say. So let's at least acknowledge that when Dennis Vacco was hired, he started conducting a review of some sort. He's obviously been doing that. And the county rolled it out as saying he was conducting a thorough internal review. Those were their words. He called it an investigation. Okay. Now they're saying it wasn't an investigation per se. It was a review that was meant to kind of help them coordinate a response to the AG's office. And I think that may be actually the case here. So what's wrong with that? If John is saying, you got to be careful here, the AG's office, you don't want them battering you politically, will you accept that, Kerry? If they now, even if they're changing the story, and they sort of are, but will you accept that saying, okay, that's reasonable because they don't want to be hammered politically?
Well, I would like to hear directly from them what his actual purpose is, and I'd like to know how much it's costing taxpayers, because I don't believe just on face value that he was the best choice or that his presence there is saving taxpayers money.
I got a minute to get to one other quick story. I got 40 seconds. We talked a little with the county executive about golf courses, and that's an issue that actually does cost a lot of money, and they've had some real problems with maintenance, with the contracts that have been pushed out. She said she eventually wants to get the county out of the golf course management business altogether. What do you want to see done?
Well, I'm waiting for the results of the audit. They're currently being reviewed. I want to see what happened with this 20-year deal that the county executive abruptly terminated for the golf courses. Certainly, I want to see them restored to pristine, great conditions to get the number of people who go golfing there up like it used to be. And the county used to do that work, and I'd like to explore whether or not the county could continue to do that work.
Should the county be in that kind of a business at all?
Well, the county was until it outsourced them a few years ago and privatized them, and we saw what happened when they made that decision. So if it's economically viable and if it's revenue generating, then yes, it could be work that we do.
Well, we didn't even get through everything we wanted to this hour. A lot of great calls, and I appreciate the interaction. So much happening with LDCs and more going forward, and I know, Kerry, that you're generous with your time. We'll see you back here on this program as we learn more, and we'll talk to you probably in a few weeks or months.
Great. I look forward to it, Evan.
Kerry Andrews is the leader of the Democrats in the Monroe County Legislature. We are certainly honored to have County Executive Maggie Brooks a couple weeks ago, and glad to have the interaction with you, our listeners. Quick break, come right back. We're talking 5 years after the auto bailout. Has it worked? We get into the analysis next.